God wants you to be full of love and joy, rivers of living water coming out of you. He doesn't call you to a dull life or a blah life. He calls you to a life of joy and a life of fulfillment, a life where you can say, wonderful God, a wonderful life.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, November 16th, 2025. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Building the Christian Life. And our text comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
It's always good to be in the house of the Lord and to gather together and sing songs to Him and worship Him. It's part of our process of becoming more like Christ, is the gathering of the saints. It's coming together as a point of personal accountability to the Lord and to one another. It's something that you must always remember, that it's part of our spiritual duties, our spiritual correspondence, our spiritual development. When we make it a habit not to come to church, it becomes problematic for your spiritual walk with the Lord. There are always exceptions to the rule, but usually, you know, it's every day is an effort to do that. And my message this morning, and I thought about it carefully, because I don't know how many more years I got. You know, you think I'm doing well, but you don't know inside anyway, so. What I'm saying is that what should I speak today in this day that we celebrate our birthdays, and also we're moving into the end of the year, and we are now looking back and saying, what have we done this year? What have we accomplished this year? What has happened this year? It's a lot of things that have happened, and I have a message on that later on, but this morning, my question to you is, how are we building our lives? And it's introspection for myself as well, but for all of us, how are we building? How shall we build? And the message is based on 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. And so let's look at those verses in Scripture, and then we'll discuss some of the nuances of what it means to build with the foundation, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay? Paul says, by the grace God has given me. And you know, grace is what God does for you that you can't do by yourself. By the grace that God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any other foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. Talk about rewards. Huh? God gives rewards. If it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. There is an unavoidable appointment for you and for me. And in 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is not a gloom and doom. This is Paul's warning to you and to me that there's going to come a time when you and I will have to give an account of our lifestyle, not to determine our salvation, for if we've come to Christ, we're saved. And once you're saved, you know, the sins have been washed away. There's a lot of things that happen when you get saved. You know that, right? One of the things that happens is that you're adopted into the family of God. You're a child of God. You're redeemed. The Holy Spirit of God comes to you. There is no such a thing as a Christian without the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one that brings you to Christ. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, well, that's completely separate. Has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is complete and total. Then God gives you graces and gives you abilities to do certain things as He wills. And I can't pull God and tell, hey, God, give me a singing voice. I tried. And you know what they've done here in the church, right? Whenever I sing, they put this microphone down so you won't hear it. I don't blame him. I don't blame him. But there's certain gifts that come alongside, but it's separate for salvation. For salvation comes and saves you and makes you a child of God. You become a child of the Lord. And so when we talk about this idea of appearing before the judgment seat of Christ, we're not talking about the judgment of our salvation, but it's an evaluation as followers of Christ. It's going to evaluate our walk with him. God's going to evaluate your life and my life. He's going to say, what have you done or what have you not done? Sometimes we think because we're saved, we can do whatever we want because we have a passport that's been stamped says go to heaven. We're going to get there, but because Christ has done that work for you. But there is such a thing as living for Jesus. And I'll be gracing the life of Dallas Willard and Barclay and others. And may I just say to you that they say without any shadow of a doubt that grace is not opposed to earning. It's not opposed to effort. We need to live in such a way that we allow the grace of God to cause us to grow in him. It has nothing to do with salvation. Another great author said that Christian life is not a moment, but a process. It's character building. It's built by choice. And there are some things that we do as Christians by choice that determines that judgment in that day. It's not accountability for sin, but for service. How are you living the Christian life? What kind of building are you building? And when you come before the Lord, what will survive and what will not survive? Paul goes on to say that there is a foundation. We build already on a foundation that's been predetermined. I know nothing about architecture, except that I admire architecture. And, you know, when you lay a foundation, you have to build on that foundation. You can't deviate from the foundation because the building is going up according to that foundation. And Paul says, no one can lay another foundation other than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is what you build on. You cannot make up your own Jesus Christ. You cannot make up your own little cuddle here and say, well, this is how it should be. God's got it wrong. No, there's a way in which you and I grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord that's already, shall we say, preempting your life. Says, this is how you live. And when you go through the Bible, you find the struggle that existed in the early church. And it's a struggle with secondary foundations. People who wanted to rearrange Christ, rearrange things. And so they had false teachers, and Paul called them out. Crazy leaders, he did that same thing. Preferences. I'm from Apollo. I'm from Peter. I'm from Christ. And I'm telling you, Jesus already says to you and to me through Paul, there's only one foundation, and you have to build according to the diagram, what has already been approved by the master architect. And it means, brothers and sisters, that Christ is central in your life, that you built on him. The building is already in him. And we build on him. When you don't, then you crack the building and things go wrong. Somebody said discipleship means learning to live our entire real life on the foundation of Jesus' teachings. And your entire life is dependent on how would Jesus do this? What would Jesus do if he would be me? How do I process this? And that's a very sobering question if you really ask it. Because you and I face moments in life where decisions need to be made. And sometimes we catch our own moods, and our moods are contrary to Jesus' spirit. And we have to be constantly on the guard saying, Lord, help us to learn to live my life in such a way that I'm honoring the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. So my question to you this morning is a question. Here we go. How are you really building your life? Are you building it on Christ? Or are you building it on convenience? How is Christ inconvenient to you lately? Oh, man, you know, Christ again? Yeah, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah, it's not like if it's convenient, I will do it. If it's not convenient, I won't. It's always convenient to build on the foundation, which is Christ Jesus. Christ or culture. We have a crazy culture today. Good grief. Good grief. You can't build it on that. What about emotions? Well, I feel like it. I don't feel like it. Can't do that either. And then for some of my friends who may be seeing this through our online services, is it Christ or is it ministry success? Well, there are two categories under which we build our lives. And I praise the fact that all of you are clapping and thanking God and just saying, wonderful, keep it going. And that's fine. You're not going to intimidate me. Here we go. Lasting materials. Paul says we can build with gold, silver, precious stones. What is that? What is gold, silver, precious stones? They represent the habits, the virtues. They represent the spiritual disciplines that shape our inner person. How are you being shaped? Let me just tell you, if you're being shaped by culture, you're not being shaped internally by the foundation, which is Christ Jesus. I'm sorry, but you cannot just simply leave it to convenience. There are certain things the Lord will call you to do and to be. And when you and I don't do that, then we are distorting the edifice, the building that will eventually be destroyed. Lasting materials symbolize those things that cost us something. Sacrifice, love, and patience, and holiness. It is a life that is devoted contrary to culture and contrary to our swing moods. It's built upon the Lord's directive of our hearts and lives. Anything done in the Spirit and in obedience to the Word will endure. Whenever you're obedient to the Lord, even in the smallest things, it endures. It shows character shaped by God's presence in your life. Well, there are some perishable materials that sometimes we use. And we do this at our own risk because there are certain things that we do that are going to bear a result that will result in just nothing more than fire and will be burned up. And Paul talks about wood and hay and straw. And it represents, brothers and sisters, with all due respect to all of you, lifestyles that may look impressive on the outside, but has no eternal weight. Appearances, showing up thinking you are or trying to pretend to be something that you're not inside. I'm telling you, the day will come when you will stand before the Lord, and those things will not stand in the presence of Christ. So we talk about the unexamined patterns of the self. Spiritual formation, brothers and sisters, is inevitable in your life and in my life. And all of us today are being spiritually formed. My question is, what type of formation are you acquiring? How do you lend yourself to the moving of the Lord, to the guidance of the Lord, to the promptings of the Spirit? How are you building your life? How are you being formed? Some of us forget that God is looking at. And I'm not trying to do a bad sermon and telling you off. That's not what I do. But I am warning you that God looks at your life and my lives. And if you don't examine your life and your pattern, you may be building your life that is not necessarily honoring the Lord. Because wood, hay, and straw, those are automatic things. They are unexamined things. They're unredeemed patterns that run through our daily lives. Things we do that we should not do, but we do them anyway. And this morning I'm saying to you and I'm saying to myself, be careful. It's the week of our birthdays, and I'm 3 days, behind. She's old. But anyway, lovingly old. We're just kidding. One day I was going to give her a cane, and she threatened with it. She threatened me with it, so I gave that idea up real quick, But I notice in my life, as I've always have, and I think you notice, that there are some patterns in daily life that sometimes catch us by surprise. And it shows us how much we need to be on guard and how much we need to revolutionize our walk with the Lord. I'm gonna share with you three things that can be very problematic in the life of the normal Christian. Anger. is one of them. Because sometimes anger can throw away the best testimony or reputation you could possibly have. Sometimes anger indulged becomes a habit, and a habit becomes character, and character is what you and I carry through eternity. Being angry, sometimes anger may be justified, you think, but it cracks the interior structure of the heart. Be careful when you have those promptings of being angry and mad. Check them out and say, Lord, this should not be. And you know, there are people who are sent to you by, I don't know who, to cause you to be angry. Need to identify the sources of anger. And some of us have been given a really raw deal, but anger doesn't really help the cause. You need to allow the Lord to do his thing. Jesus, the scripture says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Let the anger of the Lord take care of that. Don't you take it up on yourself. But anger in the Sermon on the Mount is one of the first things that come up that you and I as Christians, as disciples of Christ, need to know not to do. Anger can destroy. The second thing, which I think is more important than anger, though all of them are important, the problem of being in a hurry all the time. You may think that's not it, but Dallas says, hurry is the great enemy of the spiritual life. And it's true. I mean, we just wait on the Lord, but we do it ourselves. Wait on the Lord. And yet somehow, some way, we think we can advance the cause by doing it ourselves. I'm just saying to you that the hurried life, the life that is in a hurry, cannot produce gold. It produces sawdust. And most of my errors in my life, in the puny years that I have in this planet, if I can trace it to a problem, is being in a hurry. Trying to resolve the issue without waiting on the Lord. Scripture says, wait on the Lord. How many of you have learned how to wait on the Lord? Waiting on the Lord means waiting on the Lord. It means do nothing. And yet you're not doing nothing. You're doing a lot because you're saying, let the Lord take care of this. Hands off. Hands off. Hands off. So being in a hurry often gets us into trouble because we preempt what God is doing. And then we got double problems and triple problems. There are some things, brothers and sisters, like anger that we need to put in the hands of the Lord. And secondly, hurry. Being in a hurry about our lives really doesn't help us. Listen, put it in the hands of the Lord. Even la suegra. Even your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, your life, everything. Put it in the hands of God and say, Lord, you process this for me. Not being in a hurry. Somebody asked one of the questions, what is one of the greatest characteristics of Jesus? And that he was never in a hurry. He was never in a hurry. He knew his father took care of it. He was never in a hurry. A hurried life cannot produce gold. It produces sawdust. A hurry makes us reactive instead of formed. We don't get a formation that embellishes the presence and life of Christ. And we are in a society that everything is fast. I've been breaking my diet this month. This is the month that I eat whatever I want to see and whatever. So yesterday we were driving and the rain was coming down. I tell him, you want an In-N-Out? How many have had In-N-Outs? Isn't this the best hamburgers? So we went. And I was nervous because the line was forever slow. Being in a hurry. What usually takes us 10 minutes, I think it took us almost a half an hour. And I was wondering why it was going so slow. A hurried life. I mean, that's just a small incident. But when you get anxious and you want things in a hurry, something inside of you pops up and gets you. It reveals something about you. And it reveals that you've got to calm down and just wait on the Lord. And he'll give you the desires of your heart. Wow. So anyway, we did get the In-N-Out. We ate it and it was wonderful. There's another one. And the other one is how people see me, looking for my reputation, wanting to be applauded and congratulated by everybody. Now, don't misunderstand this. You're wonderful people. But sometimes there is a need for you to be appreciated when you've not done really the things you should have done. And self wants to be seen as good and not necessarily to be good. We want to appear to be good, even when we're not. And we put a face. I need you to know that wanting to impress others, even for a moment, is like ash in the wind. You and I need to ask the Lord to help us. Is there anything in our life that I have not submitted to Christ? Because anything that I have not submitted to Christ is perishable. Anything that I have not come to the Lord, Lord, I want to be recognized. Lord, I need to be recognized. Lord, I want to be. And all those things, and push the button so that applause becomes an addiction. It crumbles. It crumbles. It crumbles in the presence of the Lord. These are character traits. And only you know to the degree that you've embellished and into the degree that you've gone that route. But look, this is true. This is very true. We need you and I need to consider the cheap and easy choices of life that go against what God wants to do in our lives. Barclay says, wood, hay, and straw are things that cost us nothing. There's the easy way. The easy way. See, I'm just saying these things because it comes out in our lives. And I've seen it come in my life when sometimes the easy way is the best way, and it reveals that it was not the easy way. It was the cowardly way. It was the carnal way. It was not God's way. It was my way. And I sing with Frankie, I did it my way. Yeah, look at the mess I'm in. So I'm just saying, be careful, because a life of convenience is not necessarily a life of conviction. Be careful. Be careful. Because sometimes we make the easy choice against what God is speaking to us in our heart. Be careful. Because we make choices every single day. And sometimes those choices are contrary to the voice of the Spirit in our hearts. And yet we still do it. And that's a flaw of character. That's something you and I need to submit to the Lord and say, oh God, forgive me. Because I've chosen you. And yet I'm not doing you. I'm doing me. Lord, help me so that I will prefer to do your will and not necessarily my will. There's nothing wrong with your will, you know, when you submit it to God. See, the key to Christian life is, Lord, you know what I want? The Lord says, yes, I do. Well, guide me to get there. He says, I'll take you there. What? Yeah. He'll give you what you want. But trust him to guide your steps. Because if you take the steps in the name of the Lord, you're going to stumble and fall because you don't know the future. God does. So God is not trying to put you in a place where you don't like or you don't want. He's saying, let me take you there. And as he takes you to give you the desires of your heart, there's a process of character building where you build with stones and precious stones and gold and silver. And it's not your will that's being executed. It's God's will in your life, giving you the desires of your heart. How many times must we remind you that God wants you to be full of love and joy, rivers of living water coming out of you? He doesn't call you to a dull life or a blah life. He calls you to a life of joy and a life of fulfillment, a life where you can say, wonderful God, a wonderful life. The devil wants to tell you that he's got a better route for you. And that's when you fall into a problem. As a Christian, you build your life on worldly standards, on what the world wants and how it pushes you. And let me tell you, the world can attract you. Oh, it's really a huge magnet. It just pulls you and pulls you and pulls you. You have to break that. Not because you hate people in the world, but because you love the Lord that much that you want the Lord to do it for you. The Lord is the one who picks you up. When you humble yourself before the Lord, he will pick you up. And when you don't, then you will have the judgment. And that day is inevitable for all of us. You will have to face the Lord. And you will understand that the life of convenience was in reality not a life of conviction. So there's a Christianity today that wants to avoid the cross in daily life, which means doing your will. When you wake up in the morning, do you say, Lord, let your will be done in my life? Because that's what this is about. It's about living for him. And you know, we will stumble, we will fall, we will have things that go on in our lives that are out of place, but our heart is in the right place, asking for God's guidance in our life, building correctly, doing everything you and I can to be doing God's will in our lives. Perishable materials, says Barclay, are choices we make when we seek ease over obedience. Let me tell you, have you ever heard the Lord speak to you? You know, the Lord speaks to all of us in different ways. But when he speaks to you, you know he's speaking to you. And then you have to say, do I do it or I don't do it? And there's inside of you this thing that my own woman, I can do this. And you say, well, maybe I didn't really understand. Maybe I misunderstood. You know, and you do it your way. And that is all over your face. Or maybe you don't see it all over your face, but you see something deadening in your heart. All of a sudden, like the joy is not there. Like you've crossed a barrier of sorts, and the joy of the Lord seems to be somewhere else. And well, we shut down the Spirit of God in his activity in our lives. We water down the Lord's intervention in our lives. We shut him off. I don't want to hear you, Lord. I don't want to hear that, Lord. I'm going to do it this way. And you say, my future, Lord, I got to do this. I got to do that. Really? The Lord does it with you. You bring him in. He will give you the desires of your heart. But you got to let him know what those desires are. See, you do that, and God begins to work with you. I always wanted to marry Wilma, though I didn't know who she was. And I would pray for her without knowing who she was. I would pray for my wife before I even met my wife. I knew she was somewhere because I needed to go and rescue her. I'm in so much trouble today. She's silent. But you got to wait for the right woman, the right man to come in your life. You have to wait until the Lord blesses you. You can't rush it. You say, Lord, I want to honor you. Whatever it is, you put it before him and let the Lord work it out for you. Seeking ease over obedience is a death trap. Listen to the voice of the Lord, because anything done in the flesh is going to burn. It's going to burn away. When you do things with the wrong motives, you do things in human strength or for human praise, it's not going to work out. It's going to burn. It's going to burn. Did I wake somebody up? It's going to burn. Service done for self-glory and ministry with pride and trying to masquerading as spirituality and trying to, all I'm going to tell you is that the judgment seat of Christ will expose not the quantity of our work, but the quality. Its motive and spiritual source is what this is all about. Bill Graham used to say this, that when he stands in the day of judgment, there will be people who will receive a greater reward than I will. And it's not the quantity, but the quality, the commitment that you have. But anything that you purposely do just to be noticed or to compete or to dominate, to impress, that's the work. Now, you may do that, and God's not going to strike you dead, and you're still going to go to heaven, but there will be a time when you will have to give a reward, a response to all of that. That's it. And some of us are getting closer and closer by the minute. So only what the Spirit produces survives, and everything that the flesh produces will vanish. So is wood, hay, straw, all of that driven by the unredeemed part of ourselves, those things that we have chosen not to bring before the Lord for changing. Willard speaks about habits of the self that we have never surrendered. Is there something going on in your life that you have not surrendered to the Lord? Is something that's, have you not surrendered to the Lord? What habit is not surrendered to the Lord? What about choices made because they were easy and not holy? What about actions done in the flesh and not in the spirit? So there is such a thing as interior motives in the life of the Christian. And they are everyday decisions that you and I make. But there's also an eternal rhetoric. You're going to have to come before the Lord. And they will burn when they are not right before God. And so all you have to really do is say, Lord, help me now. So now, Lord, I come to you not with this added knowledge, though I always suspected this was so. But now that I'm being called on right now, Lord, I'm coming to you and saying, all right, Lord, help me with the habits that are destroying my life. Things that I've never surrendered to you, I mean, specifically. Lord, help me, because I'm making choices in school, choices at home, choices at work, choices in life that are just easy but not holy. By holy, I mean that they bring honor to God. I'm doing things and think I'm getting away with it, but Lord, now this morning I see that you're calling me and I'm not getting away with it because there are choices that I'm making that are contrary to who you are in my life. And oh, Lord, help me, because there are things that I'm doing in the flesh and not in the spirit that are not going to life, not going to last. I need to come down with this and just continue to. Well, actually, time's gone. Let me just say that this type of judgment before the Lord, it destroys everything that is not truly of Him, that is not sustainable in the structure, in the foundation that He has given us. It's a refining fire, not a condemning one. You're going to make it to heaven. You're going to be in heaven. Yes, you will. It's not a punitive fire. It's a revealing fire. You're going to see yourself. Oh, dear, I'm asking God, please let that judgment be between you and me, nobody else. Well, we'll see about that. That's another message. I don't want to go into it now, but whew. So it's a refining fire, but it's not going to condemn me. It's a revealing fire, but it's not going to be punitive. But it's also a purifying fire. Purifying because it's not that I'm being rejected. I'm being purified. The Lord's speaking to you this morning, my brothers. The Lord's speaking to all of us this morning. And I'm just saying something. Be careful how you build your life, how you're building it. The structure you're putting on top of Christ, your Savior. What are you doing with your life? Come on. Don't try to impress others. That's nothing more than straw. Don't do things in a hurry. That's nothing more than hay. Don't do things for the ego. That's wood. But do things through the spirit, which is gold. Do it in hidden obedience. You obey the Lord in your heart, and not everybody knows. Nobody needs to know, but you know you're doing this because God spoke to you. That's building with silver. Precious stones is what you do something for Christ. So the fire is not to shame us. It's to free us from those things that don't matter. So I would suggest, brothers and sisters, that you come to an accountability process in your life. And that today is the day that the Lord has made for you to come to grips with how you're doing. Because God is preparing you and me for a life that is capable of living in His kingdom. That's what it is, you see. It's Christ's discerning gaze. He looks at you. He sees you. Just like the Lord saw the lampstands in the book of Revelations. He said, I know your works. He knows your works. And I'm not trying to hellfire and brimstone type of stuff. But I'm just simply trying to say that there is an accountability that we all have to understand. Some will receive rewards, brothers and sisters. When we stand before the Lord, there will be a reward for all of us for then doing the things that we've done correctly. And at the same time, we're going to be called to accountability when We did not do the things that we knew we should do. So I don't think God's going to necessarily, and I'm not God, and I'm speaking here simply saying, I don't think God's going to blame you for something you did not know that you had to do. I think the Lord will judge us for the things that we knew we had to do and the things that we needed to reshape in our lives. And the reward, brothers and sisters, is not a trophy that I'm going to hang in a wall. Is a reward is the joy of a life that counts for something. So Revelations speaks about worshiping and serving God in eternity. And this life is a life of preparation for that. It is it's a time of God preparing you and me that he can entrust with his power and responsibility, not only for this age, but for the age to come. Whatever you do, you carry with you. You take your personality with you, Lord. You take your character with you. You will be there as you are today. Ha! Good grief. Much better looking, of course, but nevertheless, it's going to be me. It's going to be you. We're going to recognize one another. We're going to find that all of a sudden, we realize that everything we have done to please him was worth it. That's what Paul says. Therefore, we make it our aim to please him. That's the heart of the Christian lifestyle. What I'm doing now, Lord, is it pleasing you? That's not a hard question to ask. And you all have the answer. You all have the answer. You all have the answer. Oh, we're being trained for eternity. You already are an eternal being in the presence of God. You will live forever and ever and ever. And you have to choose. You want to live with God or you don't want to live with God. See. Conclusion. How are you building? This is real conclusion. Is it gold or straw? Is it obedience or convenience? Let me just tell you that. You need to bring your desires before the Lord. And he will make a path that will bless you. Do you want to cultivate the traits of the Christian? Or do you go along with the culture, what's going on today? Culture today is ridiculous. It's a mess. You gotta follow the Lord. You gotta follow the Lord. You have to weave yourself through that. But every generation has its problems. My generation, we invented pot. And as I was leaving high school, LSD was the big thing too. But I did not partake any of that stuff. You don't have to partake of that stuff. And everything else, alcohol was rampant in high school. Half of my so-called friends, they never developed a friendship because they were acquaintances, people that sat next to you, half of them were drunk on Monday morning. Going to school. They were drunk and high on pot. They were. Doesn't mean I had to do that. I didn't do that. It's a choice. It's a choice you make. And I won't go into the other aspects of high school lifestyle, which is horrific today. But it's the same temptation. It's the same end. It's the same process. Listening not to God, but listening to the world and to culture and to people and all that kind of stuff. That's why I'm so proud that we have missionaries to the school system, brothers and sisters who have been and continue to be teachers in the public school system. Well, actually, in any system, the missionaries, because they're dealing with issues that are very grave. My prayer is that we will continue to show others the difference between living for Christ and living in the world. So you and I need to be obedient over convenience. We need to have Christ-like versus cultural traits and habits. And it comes down to discipleship, doesn't it? Either you are a disciple of Christ and you follow him, or you drift into a never, never land. Weird stuff out there. Yes, I'm a Christian, but how do I handle this, you know? My last sentence, I wrote it down. The most important thing in your life is not what you do, it is who you become. That is what you will take into eternity. And you will face the Lord. I hope he will say to all of us, good and faithful servant. Hiciste poquito, pero bonito. Hiciste poquito, pero bonito. It's just a poquito, pero bonito. Because sometimes by the time that everything gets moved out of the way, there won't be much there. But we will be blessed by that which you did according to his will in our lives. May God speak to you this morning. And may you count your days and review how you're building your Christian life with the Lord. All right. That's it, folks. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in our life and for allowing us to think through. Lord, it's a message of encouragement to rethink and reposition ourselves and prioritize our lives in the light that everything we do counts. Help us to build our life, Lord, in the things that matter to you and that also matter to us, Lord. Lord, it's unavoidable. We will stand in your presence and we will enter into heaven and through eternity. But Lord, I pray that you would speak to us and that you would help us become true disciples to follow you all the days of our life. For we pray and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand with me, please? So you hear the voice of the Lord and you trust him and you follow through and your life will be absolutely wonderful. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.